D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick joining Chase McCabe from 2 to 6. And joining us now on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, by the next time we speak to you, the Nashville Predators will have made a trip to Tampa Bay. The Predators are in Tampa on Monday, and what will be an emotional return to Amalie Arena for Steven Stamkos. I'm curious for your opinion on this. Of course, the organization is going to give him a tribute. The fans are going to give him a standing ovation. But the split between the Tampa Bay Lightning and Steven Stamkos, I wouldn't call it acrimonious, but there were certainly some hurt feelings on Steven Stamkos' part. It certainly feels like it, at least, when they decided to go their separate ways. What do you make of Stamkos' return to Tampa coming up on Monday?
Well, it's going to be really something. It's going to be emotional. There's no question about that. Those feelings are real, Adam. I know we all tiptoe around them a little bit because we don't want to speak for someone if they're not going to say it directly themselves, but those feelings are real. I bet it's going to be a big money on the board night. I bet you that. And for people who aren't familiar with what that means, is it's a pretty big hockey tradition that when players go up against their former teams, they put a number on the board, and if the team wins, that number goes towards like the team party fund or the players fund or something like that. And over the years, there have been some pretty big numbers put on that. And when you play your former team, it's kind of your duty to go out there and put a big number on the board. So that'll be a big number on the board night in Tampa. You know, it's funny, Adam, like Matt Sundin, the former captain of the Maple Leafs, is up here. He's doing a book tour right now. And the first time he came back to Toronto after he left, he played for Vancouver, and he talks about that in the first chapter of the book, how he really thought he was going to get booed. And I remember I covered this game when he came, when he had the face-off, and there's just a car accident that happened right near me here. They had a big Jumbotron celebration for him, and the crowd went crazy, and he couldn't take the face-off. The linesman stepped back so the ovation could continue, and finally Sundin told him he had to drop the puck, and he did. So I don't know if it'll be quite like that, but I bet you Stamkos will be emotional.
In your 32 Thoughts column this week, which came out last night, you said, quote, Predators general manager Barry Trotz has the second best hockey radio hit on the game in Nashville. I wonder who number one is. But you referenced the interview that Barry Trotz did on our station earlier this week talking about trading for a center. You also mention the Calgary Flames and the Chicago Blackhawks as teams that are looking for centers. And as you have said, and you wrote yesterday as well, the two toughest things to find for a team, a stud defender and a top center. As you also note, we're still in the seeing what we've got phase of the NHL season, but eventually some names are going to emerge, particularly at center, for teams looking for a fix at that position. Again, it's early, but when those names start to trickle out, who are you expecting to see as targets for teams looking for centers?
Well, that's a great question, Adam. First of all, you have to see who kind of falls out of the race here. So I think that's one of the things that we kind of watch is, are there teams who are out and you start to say, okay, is this player available? Is that player available? I would say that one of the names I probably watch a little bit is Trevor Zegras. And I think it was pretty loud on him all of last year. And it got quiet after the draft. It's been quiet right now. And, you know, Trevor Zegras, they have asked him to change the way he plays. He's a really talented guy. And he's trying to do it. They rewarded him. They beat San Jose, I think, the first Saturday of the season. and Zegras scored the empty netter. They put him out there to protect a one-goal lead, which would not have happened last year, I don't think. And he did it. And like he's never going to be 100% necessarily perfect two-way player, but he's trying to be better, and he's a really talented offensive player, like really talented. So, depending on how things go in Anaheim, they've got a lot of good young players. I think that's one name that everybody's kind of keeping track on. I'll tell you this, there's a player you guys know really well, and that's Michael Granlund. And, at some point in time, I wonder if San Jose, they're off to a really tough start. Celebrini's their guys out of the lineup. They haven't won since he got hurt. And, Granlund's there, and he's a veteran. And that's a guy I think you're going to start to hear his name at some point in time.
Let's talk with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Check it out. Now, Elliot, Barry went on with Jared Stillman earlier this week. And
yep. This second was best hockey exactly. radio hit on your show, right, Barry?
Absolutely. Right. And this was right before, obviously, them beating the Boston Bruins or shutting them out this past the other day. And he spoke with honesty. And
yes,
maybe some guys don't like that. Maybe some guys don't matter. It doesn't matter to them. But is the way Barry is that the norm when it comes to GMs in hockey, or is he an exception to the rule? And is he able to do it because he has such a veteran locker room?
I think, Derek, it's funny. As I was listening to it, because I always go back and I listen to Barry's hit every week after if I can't catch it live online. And the one thing I was thinking about that, there are, I'll say this. You'll get times where someone says, I want to come on the air, and you know that they've got a message that they want to get out, mm-hmm. okay? And when someone calls you and says, I want to come on, it's like, all right. You're starting to stretch. You're like, this is going to be a good one. And it usually is. But I think a lot of times, Barry comes on consistently. I don't know how many GMs do that anymore where they have a weekly radio hit. It used to be fairly common. But for as consistently as Barry comes on, he's about as honest as it gets. Mm-hmm. And I think he recognizes that, this is his opportunity to get his voice out there in the market. And he's very aware. He's acutely aware of that. And I think that's very good. And secondly, I think he's just a really honest guy. I would say he's more honest than most. There's things he won't tell you. There's things he'll keep private, like most GMs will. But when he's out to talk, he's not hiding what he thinks from you. I think the most interesting thing I thought he said was about, if this doesn't work in 2 years, we go to everybody and we figure it out, how it goes. Well, first of all, I'm not worried about that. I think that everything will sort itself out in Nashville. But secondly, I would say, Derek, it's pretty rare to hear someone say that. I think you guys have a pretty mature dressing room. I think you guys have a lot of guys who've seen a lot of things. I don't think he's saying anything there that group can't handle. And I'll tell you this, though, too, Derek, and you know it, too, as a player. If you have the offseason you just had and it doesn't work for 2 years, mm-hmm. you're going to expect that there's going to be changes.
Absolutely. Now, give your assessment of Tommy Novak, because he's been one of the bright spots, even though this team has only won one game. But Tommy yep. Novak has been one of the bright spots on this line. He went from the second line to the third line, and he just seems to produce this season. And I know it's early, but this is one of the guys at the beginning of the season that you needed to take another step. And you needed to see that improvement from him, and thus far you have.
Yeah, I think he's a really talented guy. I like watching him play. You can see the gifts there. You can see how talented he is. I think the one thing that we're trying to figure out here, Derek, is on a team that can win the Stanley Cup, does he work in that two slot? And the one thing I'm kind of wondering about just by watching is if the Predators think he's sort of like a better three than he is two. I think they'd like to see him be a two. I think everybody would. But I just don't know yet if they feel he's consistent enough and two-way enough to be that two. So that's, I think, the thing we're looking for. Like, I have no doubt this guy can score. I have no doubt this guy has really good offensive instincts. I just don't know if he – like, the one thing I look at with the Predators right now is I think they get – I don't know if nervous is the right word. I might be misspeaking there. But I think they're a little bit unsure he can play against the best lines in the league.
Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet joining us on D-Mace Vingan and Donick. Elliot, one of the best stories of the first month of the NHL season, in my opinion, has been the Utah Hockey Club. They suffered a 4-0 loss the other day, but a 4-1-1 start, overtime wins against the Bruins and the Rangers. And they delivered some incredibly tough news to their fans yesterday. Two defensemen, Sean Durzi and John Marino, out for months after undergoing separate surgeries. They've gotten off to a great start. They're in the mix in the Central Division. What is Utah's plan to replace Durzi and Marino on defense in the long term?
Well, also, too, Adam, they're both righties. It's even harder. There's more lefties than there are righties. And when you lose two righties like that, that's a real big challenge. And, you know, one of the things I really felt was I was wondering if they would go out quickly and go get someone. And they are determined not to make a panic move that they regret. Like, that's the number one signal they send out to everybody. We are not going to do something that makes us feel good for 10 minutes and then makes us feel terrible for 10 years. You know, Adam, the vulture circle, when they sense weakness, they're like, all right, how can I take advantage of this guy? I have a line that's like, when you're really struggling in the NHL, they don't throw you a life preserver. They throw you an anvil, right? So I think that's one thing that Utah's trying to do is, okay, internally, can we handle this with what we've got? Now, I think they're out there. They're looking. They're checking. They're going to see. Eventually, they might do something. But I think the biggest thing they'd like to do is, can we tread water long enough that we don't have to make a panic move?
Last one for you, Elliot. Which of the following teams, their starts to the season, is most surprising to you? The 5-0-1 Calgary Flames, the 5-1 Washington Capitals, or the 4-0-2 Minnesota Wild?
I would have to say Calgary. I think the other two, it's makes perfect sense as to why you're asking. But to me, Calgary is the team that's the most surprising. If you look at the rosters, they probably have, I don't know if thinnest would be the right word, but I think you would look at their roster with some of the younger players and things and say, I'm not sure that would work for me after six games. You know, the thing too, Adam, is they were losing 4-1 early in their opener in Vancouver, and they came back and they won that game. And I think that just excited them and gave them such a boost. Like, that is a team in the middle of a rebuild. They've had a lot of crazy stuff happen there. They've been in the news for a lot of the wrong reasons over the last 2 years. And I just think that opener, giving them a chance to feel good about themselves, they have ridden that wave since. I don't think it's going to continue. I think even deep down they would admit that, but it's been pretty impressive so far.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast, joining us on D-Mace Vingan and Donick as he does every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Elliot, thanks for catching up. We'll talk next week.
All right, and I look forward to listening to number two next Tuesday.
We'll let Barry know you said that.
Okay. Take care.
Yep.
Elliot Friedman joining us as he does every Thursday. Always love talking hockey with Elliot. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, some pointed words from a former member of the Tennessee Titans about the leadership on this team. We'll share those with you next. Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, 1025-1063. The game.